All right, I'm asking you the question, will 2018 be the start of another great awakening, a great revival?
Everybody here looking for revival in our own hearts and across the land. Anybody looking for a revival, lift up your voice and say amen. Lift up your voice and say amen. Anybody here looking for revival in our own hearts and across the land. Anybody looking for a revival, lift up your voice and say amen.
Lift up your voice and say amen. Now it's interesting that even bands like Third Day are talking about the possibility of another great revival coming in our time.
Ain't gonna find it in a politician, not from the government or any law.
I like this stuff, don't you? Come on with me. Okay, yes. Well, let's get into this subject, which is really the subject of subjects for me. Revival has been my theme for as long as I don't know when. And I guess from the beginning of my preaching, revival has been the thing that I've talked about so much. And you might say, well, how come, Terry? What's the deal with revival? Well, it happened not too long after I was saved. My father-in-law, Jim Somerville, same name. And actually, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about this right after Billy Graham passed away. My father-in-law, Jim, was actually saved in a Billy Graham crusade. That's what turned his whole life around from being kind of a non-religious, secular kind of guy and all this stuff into going into the ministry, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, pastoring, becoming an evangelist, and all of those things. And all those years were incredible because there was, throughout the 60s and 70s anyway, a huge revival outpouring that actually impacted the world in terrific ways. And I'm talking, of course, about the Jesus People movement, the charismatic movement, all of the stuff that took place during those years. And that's, you know, in the 70s when I came to the Lord. And it was unparalleled to anything I've experienced more in the Holy Spirit since then. But in sheer terms of the numbers of people, young people coming to the Lord just over and over, like, man, it swept through people I knew in school, and that's how I came to the Lord. A girl that I had been in high school with, she was like a, you know, freak like the rest of us. She was worse than me. She did add, you know, drugs and the whole deal, and went off to Toronto living with some guy and all this sort of stuff, and then came back to London, where we grew up, and she becomes a teller at the bank. And every time I go into the bank, it seems I'm in her queue, and I get to talk to her, and there's something radiating off her life, and I'm going, what is this? What is this? Well, I finally came a chance to talk to her about what is this, and she talked about it with me, that this is Jesus, and she was explaining the gospel to me, and I'd been involved in the occult and all of that, and I didn't know what to make of it, except by the convicting power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say. By His supernatural working, He drew me to say yes to Jesus. And there had been times before, I suppose, where I'd heard the gospel. Actually, before then, I'd been to a Catherine Coleman crusade because my girlfriend at the time had invited me. Her aunt was a sponsor. And the presence and power of God was so thick and so incredible, and I was weeping my eyes out. If I'd heard a clear, you need to give your life to Christ now, I would have done it. But I didn't. I didn't hear it. At least I didn't tune in. Maybe there was one. And now I look back and went, wow, I wish I had. But be that as it may, it was such a powerful time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that you just can't imagine. It was something. And a powerful time of so many of us, teenagers and early 20s, you know, coming to the Lord, Jesus People movement, they called it. And that all went through the 70s. It hit the, you know, hit the drug scene, hit the free sex scene, hit the rock and roll scene, which I was involved with, hit the motorcycle guys, hit the, you know, I mean, it went, it just went through the culture. So many people I knew, my age became, well, my age then, 19, 20, became, heading into the ministry, became pastors and that sort of thing. And that's a kind of revival. Now, revival has shaped the shape of nations. It's shaped the very shape of the United States and Canada. It was the first Great Awakening, and guys like Jonathan Edwards, Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, they came up through the colonies, which included coming up through what's now Canada and all those areas, preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, people turning from deism mainly, which means they thought, yeah, God created the world and He left it to run like a watch, just running. He's not involved anywhere, and you don't have to do nothing. And people were just living immorally and ungodly lives. And they turned to the Lord. And that really is what saved the United States and what became Canada. The Great Revivals, the Second Great Awakening in the 1800s actually started in Hamilton, Ontario, and spread down into New York State and all through New York into New York City. It spread then around the world. Great Revival from Azusa Street restored the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it was not just in Azusa Street, but across the pond. It was going on in Wales before that, and over in Asia as well, and in Korea. I've been around, I've seen, talked to people who are telling me the stories of the great Korean revivals, same time that all of Korea turned to Christ, away from Buddhism and all that sort of thing. That's why there's so many Christians there now. That's why the enemy of God, the accuser, Satan, rose up with such venom. And in the aftermath of that revival, Japan took over Korea. And then in the aftermath of the Second World War, Japan's defeated and Korea gets divided up between the communists in the north and the allies and freedom in the south. You know, it's just like the devil will do whatever he can to destroy the work of revival in the land. And we are at the cusp. I've said this too many times here on the radio. We're at the cusp of the enemy seeking to destroy and overthrow the freedom in the West, to destroy all of faith, get it completely out. And I'm telling you, I've said it too many times, and I won't go back into the details of it. If the last election in the United States had gone the other way, we'd be heading into a world government. There isn't any doubt about that at all. The declared intentions that are behind all those things were, you know, not using those words, but it's all there. That's what the upheaval is going on so big time right now is we need a revival. America needs a revival terribly. The vision and the hatred and the accusations of the enemy, and it's overflowing, as I was talking about, into Canada. Canadians taking up so much offense over all this stuff that's going on in the United States and elsewhere, and we need a return to Jesus Christ. Now, here's a revival. Where do we get the word revival? Well, like, for example, Psalm 85, verse 6. Will you not revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice? And Psalm 22, 27. Let all the ends of the earth remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations bow down before Him. And then Psalm 80, 18, then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. I mean, what is revival? Revival is like reviving something that's dead, basically. Life coming back to where there's death. And spiritual death, the outworking in our world right now. You know, the explanation for what's going on, all the terrible, terrible things we see in the news, all the division and upheaval we see going on throughout the nation, all the evil that's trying to pour into our cultures and pour into our schools and pour into our children and homes and all the stuff that's going on, it is just the fact that the world has lost touch with God, and we need the Lord again. And when people turn back to the Lord, there's a great cleansing and purification as they turn away from the self world, the world of self, and turn towards God. Praise the Lord. So this is what we need. I mean, what can I say? Be a pray prayer warrior. God, will you not revive us again? Now, what's the issue? The issue is we have a covenant with the Lord that we call upon, you and I, believers. We call upon the Lord in his covenant that he's worked in Christ for the sake of our own lives, for our families, for our cities, and our nations to turn back to God, that the unsaved turn to salvation. But more in particular, right off the bat, that those who name the name of the Lord turn back to a new obedience to Christ. I mean, that's what the revivalists preached. That's what Charles Finney, for example, in the 1800s preached. He said in his revival lectures that a revival is nothing except a new beginning of obedience on behalf of the Christians. A new beginning of obedience. Now, the problem is that Christians are not being obedient, not following the Lord. Everything from our tongue to our morals to our integrity leaves much to be desired. But there's a possibility now of turning to the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, how we can love the Lord, and a cleansing power of the blood of Jesus will come according to that great covenant that God wrought in Christ, that we will be delivered and delivered from the consequences of sin. What we see in our culture is the consequence of sin pouring into the nation. Okay? So 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is such an amazing scripture. It has the foundational basis of much of revival in it. And what it is King Solomon dedicating the temple. And he's just done a great dedication and had thousands and thousands of sacrifices to the Lord. And he seeks the Lord. And the Lord comes to him and says to him that when God's people turn away from him and are not obeying him, and so the result is the heavens are shut up and there is no rain. Of course, in an agricultural country there, that would be disastrous. There's a great drought. They're in famine. Or there's the enemies come against them and there's war. Or there's this, or there's that. Or we could go through all the different things that can happen as the protection of God is removed from his own people. That's all through the Old Testament. And these terrible things start to happen. What his promise is, this is God's promise. 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people, that's believers in God, those that trust God, so that's you and me as Christians too, who are called by my name, that's us, humble themselves. We no longer say, oh, I'm good, oh, I'm, you know, you just get down. Humility is you're down. You got to go down before you can get up. And we humble ourselves and pray, and he says, and seek my face. And that's happening more than I've seen probably in my lifetime as a minister. There's more general seeking of God's face going on. And turn from their wicked ways. Yes. Key ingredient, dear believer, is everything in your life you know that is not right with you and God. You turn away from it. Get it all dealt with. Then he says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. Wow. We see other examples of prayer, and I only touch on them right now. For example, Daniel and Nehemiah and others prayed in this way. They prayed, Lord, we have sinned. Our forefathers have sinned. And that's why we are in this terrible condition we are now. Now, Daniel, of course, was a prophet. He himself hadn't sinned in the sense that he participated in the idol worship and stuff that brought Israel into bondage to Babylon. But he's praying us, we have done it. We've done it. And then he calls out to God and based on the promises of God and cries out for deliverance. And there's great revelation. And of course, within a couple of years, there's a decree of Cyrus, the people of Israel can go back to their own land. You know, and there's all those things wrapped up in there. He heals the land. What's involved? God's people acknowledging their own sin, the sin of all the people. And I acknowledge that, you know, when we have our prayer time, the church, listen, the gates of evil, the doors to evil have been opened in the land of Canada by the church. And I can name names and I can give instances and I won't hear. But the doors to the evil things that are going on have been first opened up. The spiritual gates have been opened up by the conduct of those who name the name of Jesus Christ. And some might dispute whether some of these people are even believers. I have my doubts many times myself. But listen, they're naming the name of Christ, those that are called by my name. And we need to call out in a great cry of prayer, Lord, we have sinned. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Deliver us. Come. According to your promises, 2 Chronicles 7:14, hear us and hear from heaven, forgive us, and heal our land. There is the basis of those promises. Now, I'm pretty much out of time, but I can say to you, maybe I'll tell this in a different video, I have actually put these promises to the test for local church, and they exploded in God's outpouring. As we cried out in repentance for the history of the church, asked God's forgiveness, and began to seek his face, when the cleansing took place according to the covenant, the very next time we came together, the revival power of God came on the scene. That was back in 93, 92. And this works. I've applied it in other nations. I've taught churches this. Every place that it's been applied and used, it happens. And I've got lots I can tell about it, how this principle works, because it's Bible. There you go. And I'm going to just put up our Total Change website here now that I'm out of time. And those that are listening on the radio, just a reminder, we have this YouTube channel, Total Change Ministries with Terry Somerville. You can go there. And please click subscribe. And those that are listening to YouTube, here is the website and the radio ministry. You can listen online as well. And so thank you so very much for tuning in and watching me as well on YouTube. God bless you.
Everybody here looking for revival in our own hearts and across the land. Anybody looking for a revival, lift up your voice and say amen. Lift up your voice and say amen. Anybody here?